Today, we have a guest that understands how being a performer can also inform your filmmaking skills. Also, she knows about being hot and smart at the same time. And we're going to learn all about that today on the Fly Filmmaking.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Welcome, everyone, back to On the Fly Filmmaking, the show where we learn about filmmaking from the people who are making it happen. My name is Mary Lou Mandel, your host. You can find me all over the internet at Mary Lou Mandel, and I have an amazing guest with me today, Sarah McDaniel. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Sarah McDaniel or Daniels?
Daniel.
Just one.
Just one.
Not multiple
and
Daniels.
Only.
The one and only Sarah McDaniel. She is a filmmaker, she's a director, she's a model, an actress, she's...
CBD connoisseur.
She's all the time, do it all, which I'm just like so excited to have you on
you.
Here. So we're going to talk about a few of your projects, but before we get started, let everyone know where they can find you on the internet.
Yes, so my main platform right now is Instagram, and it's Crotchy with a K, K-R-O-T-C-H-Y. And my YouTube is also Crotchy, and my Facebook is just Sarah McDaniel.
Right
so,
on.
Pretty easy.
Pretty easy, yeah. Instagram's my favorite, and I feel like...
Same.
When filmmakers come in here, because sometimes we talk to filmmakers that don't understand Instagram, because
yeah.
they're making, like, cinema.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So they're like, wait, what is this platform? And I'm like, listen, you can utilize this to your benefit.
Yeah, if anything, you can just use it as a funnel to your other, whatever it is, like Hulu or Vimeo or things like that.
Yeah, wherever your projects are.
I think most people are on Instagram right now.
Yeah.
It's, like, hot.
Yeah, it's my favorite. It's been my favorite. I always say, like, Instagram was my first love of social media.
Yes.
Because before
beautiful.
It was like, okay, MySpace is there, like Zanga, way
back. What the
back.
Fuck is Zanga?
Oh, girl, I'm old. it was way back. And then, yeah, when Instagram came, I was like, wait, this is for me.
Yeah.
I can take photos, and then when the videos were allowed, mm-hmm. and then it's like you could just design this whole, like, storefront.
It's kind of like Pinterest mm-hmm. with more of a personal touch,
yes.
I'd say. Because I think Pinterest is like, oh, I love these things, but Instagram is like, this is my soul.
Yes.
So,
you
for some people.
Put it up there. So I love that. And then this is also where you are showcasing your stop motion project, which we will chat
yes.
about a little bit later.
Cool.
But before we get into that, I want to talk to you about your career up to this point. So
yeah.
you've done all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
What got you first into the entertainment industry?
So I started modeling. And that kind of just came about from my friend had a clothing line. I learned how to do that, and I got into that. And once I started to grow a following, I did a music video for Tame Impala. And after that, the person who shot the Tame Impala music video actually picked me to do the first non-nude cover for Playboy.
Yeah.
And after that, everything just kind of blew up. I taught Stephen Colbert how to do a selfie, and it was all just kind of, you know, growing from there.
Yeah.
So I think the most, like... logical move after that was to move into acting, and I got lucky enough to do an amazing sci-fi film that's actually coming out in September, and then another horror film that's coming out in July next
okay.
month. Yeah, so
yeah, and these are ones you're performing in.
Yes, exactly.
Great.
And yeah, and then I kind of that love for acting, I got to see all the other sides of it. And actually, weirdly enough, although I've been in front of the camera almost my entire career, I feel the most comfortable when I'm behind the camera.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to kind of explore that and see what that world was like. And now I'm here.
Good. Oh, and now you're here on the Fly Filmmaking.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's chat a little bit more about specifically some of those projects coming up, because I think that they do inform you as a filmmaker. And I'd love to like see how we can relate that for our viewers, because a lot of our audience, they're aspiring mm-hmm. filmmakers. But I always encourage people, like, do try some stuff. Do try some performance.
Yeah.
So talk to me about one of your first times on a set.
My first time on a real set was when I did a French web series last year, and I was one of the main... It was the first time I was, like, a main actress, and I was on film, like, from 5 a.m. in the morning. I would leave at, like, 12 at night, and then I would have to drive all the way back to Oxnard. I literally didn't have anything else in my life other than that for, like, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think showing that really made me grow, just as, you can't be lazy. That was something that made me strong in that point. And seeing everything going on around set, like, how many different people it took to really make something come alive, and how much you really need to have, like, a... friendship, I guess the word would be, with the crew as well, because I think that just kind of sparked more comedy and like more better, like forming better ideas and things like that. So I think that's what really helped me to do anything in film, was just seeing how it worked from the inside.
Yeah. And I think that's really, really important. So like a lot of my first times on set was as a performer.
Yeah.
And just kind of like you're...
So it's crazy to see.
Like, a performer is, like, an important part, but you very quickly learn you are not the biggest part.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Like, you might come in and you're like, I'm a star, I'm acting, whatever. Like, where's my trailer, right? But you get in there, you're like, oh, there's so much more to this than me just showing up and being pretty and saying some words.
Yeah, and it's not about you being comfortable. It's about the director's vision. That's something, too, is, like, I think a lot of actors think that, you know, oh, I think that the character should say this, or I think the character wouldn't act like that, but you never say that. It's like the worst thing to say on set, because the director knows what he wants and his vision, and if you say something like that, it's just gonna make him not happy.
Yeah,
him or her.
Him or her. Hopefully more hers than him now.
Yeah,
let's do this, ladies. Cool. Okay, so you learned that, and were there parts of set that you saw that intrigued you?
Yeah, there was, I think mostly the VFX was really interesting to me, because they had to come everywhere with us on set. And they had to watch every take and just kind of see if it would make sense to add in the CGI later. That was really interesting to me, because I thought that you could just add things in wherever they were, they could be, you know? Mm-hmm. Also, voiceovers were really interesting to me, because I've done a couple different voiceovers for movies, and I have no idea how they know if that stuff's going to like match. That was really, really interesting. You really have to be talented to see like how it sounds even without the background noise and everything like that. So those were probably the two things that I didn't realize were that much work.
Right. Yeah. And that's stuff that we learn about on this show when we bring in like the VFX guys. Like, I love talking to them, because they're like, whoa, you had to make the White House explode and like Olivia Pope like fly away in a like, oh, and then that didn't happen. You guys were in Burbank.
Yeah. And like, if you need something like the sound of someone stabbing someone with a knife, say, like, you can't actually get that sound. So then you have to like get later on in the studio, you have to get like a knife stabbing meat or like something. And it was just crazy that if someone needs you to hear a sound, they know what combination of objects to have to create that sound.
Right.
That's like, crazy.
Have you seen the movie A Quiet Place?
Yes.
So we had the guys from who are the sound designers for A Quiet Place in here. Yeah. And just I was so fascinated, because they had to design so much in the absence of sound.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just like such a complex aspect that me as a visual person, I don't always grab onto that, but then you see it and you're like, oh yes, that was there the whole time.
Yeah, that's so true for a lot of things with making a movie, is you don't know where to start from the beginning. But I think once you kind of start looking it up and start realizing one step out after another, it all starts to kind of intertwine and make sense after a while.
Right.
Like, I want to get it. I think I've kind of got a lot of things down as far as making something, but I really want to venture into composing music for a scene, because I think that you can make people feel on edge with a violin, or you can make them feel calm with a piano or a harp. So it's like something I really want to, that's probably my next step, is learning how to make people feel things with music.
Yeah. Well, I've got some episodes for you to listen to.
Yes,
there.
Please.
Because a lot of the stuff that those guests have taught us is, you know, in how a director communicates with the composer by speaking in emotion.
Mm,
you know, like if you don't quite understand music, like me, like I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be like, violin? Eh?
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'm like, but I wouldn't feel stressed.
Like,
give them anxiety. You know, stuff like
press
that.
Press this key.
Yeah. And then it was like, okay, cool. Then they can do their thing. So I think that's awesome that you're trying all sorts of things. So after you were on set, you saw this filmmaking happening.
Mm-hmm.
What started to intrigue you to start making things of your own?
So as I was on set, I started doing articles, because I was in my trailer a lot and I was learning a lot about science, and I figured if this was inspiring me, it'd probably inspire other people to know these things as well. I think everyone has those random questions, like, what is a squid's ink made out of? It's made out of mucus and melanin. Do you know that? I just learned that today.
Yeah, that's fascinating to me. But I feel like we're going to be best friends, because I like go down rabbit holes looking up the weirdest things.
I'm just on YouTube like, was 9/11 a conspiracy? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
but give me all the information so I can make an educated choice.
So I started doing articles, and then I realized that, you know, from these articles, I was growing a lot of gaining a lot of inspiration. And the more I learned about other things in life, the more I kind of turned into like a creative story in my mind. And at the time, I was friends with a friend of mine who has a production studio in Washington, Foster Huntington, was creating a lot of his own type of like kind of 80s nostalgia videos and things like that, which funny that you say the rabbit reminds you of like the 80s.
Yeah.
And I pitched him a couple different ideas and he turned me down for a year because I hadn't done anything. I was only, you know, my Instagram was still only like modeling and acting. So he didn't think that I had like the chops to do it. And I think I pitched him like 3 or 4 ideas that he turned down. And then I pitched him one more with the rabbit stop motion. And he was like, you know what? All right, I'll give it a try. Let's do it. And as we were building the puppet, you know, I had to source different people to design it. I had to source, like, it was like building a skeleton. It was really, really complicated, which I didn't understand either. And after kind of a year of developing that, shooting it and finally posting it, it just sparked a whole new like inspiration in me that I can really, you know, produce and create and gather all these different artists to, you know, create a vision. So that's when that kind of bloomed as
a jumping off point. Or
yeah. That was like my first kind of child that was born.
That's fantastic.
And then I wanted to move into what I'm doing now is like a short film and things like that. And they're all very, very different. Like I'm putting CGI in this one. And just that alone has been the most complicated thing.
Right. So now with like, so you've got your stop motion project that's already under your belt. And then you've got some short films that are coming in like various points of production. Now, you had mentioned you are more comfortable behind the camera.
Yes.
Like, how is that developing for you?
It actually developed with me and my friend who we wanted to do kind of like a travel type inspirational video to get out of the city and enjoy like the real natural aspects of life. And it kind of since then, I think that was around like a half a year ago. Now it's kind of grown into its own mutated version of like finding yourself. Mm-hmm. But instead of finding me, I find this cyclops that's in the woods. So it's very like kind of how I envision myself in like the weirdest form. Mm-hmm. So I'm also acting in it. See, this is the thing is like me and her, we're doing everything. So we're doing like creative director, producer, writer, screenwriter, just all of it.
That's on the fly.
But like, it's like
you gotta make it happen.
Yeah. But it gives me like a whole nother respect for when I do get to that point where I can have a team to do it. I'm going to just be so thankful and really appreciative towards all of that help.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's the value of making things when you don't have the team yet.
Yeah.
One, nobody's going to fund you and like volunteer for you or work on your project unless you have something to show
Very
for it,
true.
Right? But like, you go in there, you got your hands dirty and you're like, oh my gosh, I almost ripped my brain apart trying to do everything.
Yeah.
But this is what we did.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Imagine what I could do with a team
exactly.
and a budget.
Yeah. You kind of have to, even if you don't have the resources, if you just have the idea, you kind of just have to make it happen with what you have. And I think a lot of times, even if you start, like we didn't start with any budget. And we just kind of put together this really, really complicated, detailed deck of every scene. And we shot it out to different people and they all turned us down. And then I shot it out to an independent investor that we have now. And we got one person to kind of believe in us. And that's all it took to like get started and then show them that we could do that. So it's all just like little steps to even starting with $35 and now we have like a budget of like $60,000.
Yeah.
So it really grows if you believe in it enough.
Yeah. I respect your hustle so very much.
Thank you.
Cool. Okay. So now let's get into your project with the rabbit. It's the character's called the Professor.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me what the concept of it is and then we'll watch a little clip.
So the concept is basically it's this all-knowing rabbit and he is on a cloud, kind of just projecting his thoughts down to the earth. And he's kind of just, he's taken away from the ground of all the people that are around. So he doesn't have that, he doesn't have anything manipulating his thoughts. He's literally just saying what he thinks because he just thinks all day. So this is what he kind of comes up with. And it's like the voices of all the people that I think are both entertaining and very knowledgeable. Like on the entertaining side, I have Gary Busey. And then on the knowledgeable side, I have people like Alan Watts and Carl Sagan, Terrence McKenna. So it's all just things that I've gotten plenty of messages of people that have said that it just makes them think, which is what my main goal is.
Right. Yeah. So it seems like your mission is being accomplished. All right. Let's check out the Professor.
You look at our computing power today. and you say, I have the power to program a world inside of a computer. Well, imagine in the future where you have even more power than that. And you can create characters that have, for example, free will or their own perception of free will. So this is a world, and I program in the laws that govern that world. That world will have its own laws of physics and chemistry and biology. Now, you're a character in that world, and you think you have free will, and you say, I want to invent a computer. So you do. Hey, I want to create a world in my computer. And then that world creates a world in its computer. And then you have simulations all the way down. Lay out all these universes and throw a dart. Which of these universes are you most likely to hit? The original one that started it, or the countless simulations, the daughter simulations that unfolded thereafter? You're going to hit you're going to hit one of the simulations.
That's great. That is great.
I got a DM from Diplo, and he was like, "Your videos give me anxiety. Please stop making them." I was like, "That could be good or bad."
Yeah, you're giving Diplo anxiety.
I would say that's an accomplishment.
Yes, yes. Like, it's people who make this like really, really like fun like music.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
They're like,
dude, you made Major Lazer. Let's relax.
Yeah. Chill out. Cool. Okay, so with this, you said you have multiple voices. So who is the voice on this one?
This is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Okay. And then how are you grabbing all these various voice actors?
So we just find the most influential clips that we like, mm-hmm. and then we sync the lips with the rabbit.
Okay, so you're finding this is like from another piece of content.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you're creating the rabbit. So what are you doing as far as rights for that?
We are doing it on a artist interpretation.
Okay.
So that's what we have so far. We were originally going to do it on, what's that one? Oh, Do the Right Thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to do the Samuel Jackson video, but, we didn't want to offend people
mm-hmm.
because apparently rabbits are very, they can...
Easily offended?
No, rabbits I think are like offended. Rare rabbit, apparently, okay. which I wasn't aware of. Mm-hmm. Someone informed me that that could be insulting.
Uh-huh.
So I think we like scratched that.
Yeah,
and we
historically
just
like a racially touchy character.
Yeah,
right? Like
exactly.
That whole storyline is, you know, historically
which
problematic.
I don't know how I'm not aware of this.
Yeah,
like,
it's out there. It's out there. Yeah. You like go to Splash Mountain, you're like, is this still okay? The answer is it's not. But that's good that came up to you so you could
yeah.
kind of like utilize that. But your rabbit's very, very different.
Yeah.
And you've got he's got three eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So you said you designed him.
Yes.
Talk about how that process happened.
So he was originally just a vision in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it kind of started. I originally wanted him to have a desk and like the whole, you know, setup on the cloud. But
does he always have a computer on the cloud?
No. He's usually just by himself, or sometimes he'll be holding like a mushroom or a prop, but that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of just started with that. And then we drew it and we weren't sure if he should have a fat Buddha belly or if he should be skinny. And we just thought, you know, he should be a little overweight. Like
mm-hmm.
just, you know, he's healthy. And then, you know, we had to design the legs, doing him crisscross, because I think that he's just very calm in like a very meditative state, even though our next video he will be dancing. And yeah, it took a while to figure out what his fur color should be and what his eye color should be and all of that. But it after a while, yeah. It was
how
like
many of these have
months.
You done so far?
I think this is our sixth video.
Sixth video.
And
so
they're all
what
like
are some
one
of the
minute.
Other topics?
Another topic is the stoned ape theory. I don't know if you've heard about
mm-mm.
that. So the stoned ape theory is basically the theory that when we were Neanderthals, like when we were walking on all fours, if you believe in that sort of thing, we were kind of in groups and, you know, there were other animals around like deer or whatever, cows, dinosaurs, and mushrooms grow on poop, in case you didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they somehow at one point came across this mushroom in the poop and ate it, and without knowing that they would become, you know, in another dimension, I guess, in their minds. And that created more neural pathways and helped them to think about things more profoundly and actually helped grow the brain. And it's just a theory, but I think it's really, really interesting because we still don't know why our brains developed the way they did or how they got so much bigger than they originally were. Some people say it's from protein.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say it's from the knowledge of other cultures. Who knows?
Yeah. Like so many different factors, but
yeah.
It seems like this is an extension of your science-driven articles then. You
Absolutely.
Just needed to give it a visual.
Absolutely.
Which is
yeah.
really, really fascinating. And,
yeah.
and I love that melding of one thing you were passionate about that piqued the interest in this other thing, and then you like cross them together.
I love to spark conversation in this way, because I think so much conversation is about people like Trump, or it's about people, you know, it's not on situations or
like concepts. Thing,
yeah, exactly. Or like theories or things like that, or things that we really should be focusing on, like how is our, you know, when we run out of oil in 50 years, what are we going to do about that? So it's like, I think that people, I would love to start people arguments about why our brains grew than why Kim Kardashian isn't talking to Black China, you know?
Yeah. It pushes the focus a little bit.
Exactly.
Which is interesting, because you do have like, so like your account, like you do have like really hot photos of you on there, right? So that does bring a certain kind of audience.
Yeah.
But now you're like, ha, I got you. Now you're going
to
think
you
about
have to watch.
Yeah. Which I think is brilliant.
It's kind of evened out the following too, because I think that a lot of people will message me and be like, why do you post this? Like, just post your tits, you know? And it's like, but then I'm glad, because that means they'll unfollow me and I'll have new people as an opportunity.
Because you'll weed out the morons.
Exactly.
They'll leave eventually.
Yeah.
But that you got them there at the beginning, then you're like, maybe this is for you. Hey, you interested? You
and there's
think?
An occasional butt pig still. So it's like they're confused. They don't know. Should I stay? Should I go?
Yeah. They're like, I'm just so torn.
Exactly.
I don't know how to feel about this gal anymore. So how long have you been posting the professor on your account?
Since the beginning of this year.
Okay.
So he's pretty new. But we just thought, since they're so short, we should just continue to do them so he becomes more familiar. And I think at this point, he's growing quite a fan base. So
he doesn't have his own account. Like, that only lives on your Instagram, right?
I mean, we're starting to put him on YouTube. So I think he'll kind of live there so he can be in better quality as well. But right now, he's just on Instagram hanging out. So he'll spread eventually.
So let's chat about a shoot day with the professor. How does that work out?
So Foster is actually shooting that in Washington. And Foster's really interesting because he has a production company called Movie Mountain. He lives in a treehouse. So that alone is pretty exciting.
He's rad.
And
I love him. Where is he?
I know. He has this studio where he basically will just hire people from Leica to come in, and for maybe like 2 or 3 days, they'll just move the puppet and sync it with the mouth. And he's there, because I can't be in Washington, so he's there kind of making sure, sending me clips and things like that. So he's really the one who's been making it move forward. So it takes like maybe a week to shoot it now. Like the longest point was just getting his whole body designed. But now that it's done, we can kind of just find a clip and shoot it whenever.
So what is the typical turnaround?
For what do you mean?
So, like, I assume you find the clips. You're like, I like this clip.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do. You give them some direction. You send it to them.
Yeah.
How long from when you found it to when you get it back to post on Instagram?
It's about a week.
Oh,
depending.
Fast.
This one, the one with Neil deGrasse Tyson, was a little longer because we wanted to do the camera change of the computer, and the computer took a little longer to develop as well. So that one took a little bit longer, but the Gary Busey one was 20 seconds, and then we only had to make a tiny elephant for that. So that one only took like 3 days. They can be really fast or really long.
Yeah, and then when they're shooting for a day, because stop motion is, you know, one shot at a time.
Tedious.
Have you been on set for any of those days?
Yeah, I was on set when they were doing the first couple ones I was watching. I'd be sitting in there for like 20 minutes, and oh my God, to be able to do that is like, wow, that's incredible, because I just would not have the patience to move a half a centimeter and check it and move it.
I would love to chat with a stop motion artist, because
they deserve
like
it.
Such a thing.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a version, like, you have one of these bunnies with you, or like, do you have one? Did they give you one?
I've thought about that. I've thought about making little dolls. I think it needs to happen.
Yeah.
A great idea.
You're gonna get there.
You'll get one.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
Yes. I'll
give you a necklace or something.
Ooh, I'm gonna rock that professor so hard. It's gonna be so great. Okay, cool. So that is a really cool project that you can see on Sarah's Instagram.
And YouTube.
And on YouTube. Marissa in the booth, she wants to know, what material is the rabbit made of?
He's made out of silicone.
Okay.
And his eyes are made out of plastic, I believe. I don't know if anyone's ever seen Norman, the like I think it's Norman. It's like a stop motion pretty recently. It's the same eyes that they used on Norman. So mm-hmm. I was pretty proud of that.
Good.
But yeah, it's just silicone. And then you have to pour it and then re-pour it so there's no bubbles in it. And then you have to paint it. And then you have to cast it again and then repaint it. So it's all like just making sure that there's no like rips or tears in it. But yeah, just silicone.
Yeah, how many models did you have to go through to get to this one?
Three. So there was the original, just making sure it looked okay, and then that one had bubbles in it already, so mm-hmm. we had to do it again, and then paint it, and then we did it again just for safety. But it is kind of cool that we do have those other ones, like, as, you know, to look back on.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love for you, because... like, you've got your modeling photos. Like, you need to just go onto, like, a beach and, like, have him on there. Like, have a sexy shot. And he's just, like, also.
You're so right.
So hot on
I should
the beach.
Do a stop motion with me in it. Yeah. That would be amazing.
I think people would love that.
Wow.
It would be, like, you would have to maybe, like, split screen a little bit. Mm-hmm. You'd have to mask and, like, have him a little bit separate. But,
yeah.
Like, you I'll were be telling me students. Before, you were inspired by Neverending Story. Like,
yes.
They did that stuff in there. It's a thing.
Oh my God, that dog dragon?
Mm-hmm.
Whose idea was that?
Somebody.
I want to know where.
One of your poop mushrooms.
Where is that puppet at? I bet someone has bought that for like millions of dollars.
Oh yeah, it's sitting in the back of their mansion. They're having a great time. How big is the professor?
He's pretty, I'd say maybe like 2 feet.
Okay.
He's not too big, but he's not too small.
Yeah. We had a guest here, they came in, the Sea Griffin Productions. They had a puppet for their project who was about this big.
Yeah.
And he was just, like, adorably scary.
Yeah, they're kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, his eyes move, too.
So separately, okay.
Yeah, so that he can be, like, looking at you, mm-hmm. and they look pretty real.
Do they all move on their own?
Yeah.
They can articulate separately?
Yeah.
So he can be looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
This
you
is
can't get away.
Knowing.
There he is.
Oh.
I had a dog that looked just like that, so I used to, like, pretend that was that dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. That's my childhood.
What's his name again? A Neverending Story?
Falcor?
Falcor. Like, D'Artagnan is the kid, right? Or am I making that up? I don't know. I need to rewatch
that. Sounds right.
Neverending Story.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like you're making it up.
Yeah. Any other inspirations?
Coraline. Mm-hmm. Danny Elfman, like so many just weirdos in the sci-fi realm.
Yes, I love
that are
them.
So inspiring.
Yeah.
I just feel like it gives me such like a feeling of excitement when I start a new project, and when I watch old movies like this, it's just like endless inspiration.
Yeah. You can't stop because they don't make movies that look like that anymore.
I know. And that's okay. Give me your opinion on this. Why do we not have cult classics, or is it because maybe in like 20 years or 20, 40 years, like they will be classics. But I just feel like movies from the 80s had so much flavor and like personality, and I don't understand why we're making like Sharknado now.
Yeah, well, I think it if you think of like the history of cinema is like not that old, right?
Yeah.
It's just over like 100 years old.
That's true.
So you would think it was like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we're going like every decade is a year in a toddler's life, right?
Yeah.
So when you're like eight, you're like, oh my gosh, it's like everything's so magical.
Okay.
You know, and so now at that point in filmmaking, people are like, okay, we can do this now. What magic can we encapsulate, right? Because,
yeah.
Like, the 70s, they tried a little bit. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, the 20s was just like, oh, man, there's moving pictures, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, in the 30s, it's a little bit more. In the 40s, then we start getting into, like, having music and sound and color. And then we're, like, doing big epic movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're in Westerns. We're going to other worlds now.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I think at that point, like, so in the 70s, I think, is where, like, Star Wars came in.
Yeah.
And then that's where the 80s... it's all the people who are inspired by that.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we can do
that.
And they're like pushing boundaries. So now I feel like filmmaking is pushing boundaries in a different way and more in a more computer generated mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
And it's just going to take somebody to like break the mold.
That's true.
You know, and then they're breaking things in the set. But also things are turning around so fast now.
You think?
Because,
what do you
like,
mean
with
turning
Netflix,
around?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So in the 80s or like... like historically in cinema, it's like, okay, yeah, sure, like it takes a while and it's like fine, right? It's gonna take 5 years to make this movie,
mm-hmm.
but we're making this movie.
Yeah.
But now the demand is like, I gave you money, I need a movie in 3 months.
yeah, definitely.
So
it
you
can't
turns
do
into Sharknado.
Oh man,
you know, so it's just a different kind of world. But I think it's great that you are taking on this task, because you could have easily done this project CG.
Yeah.
But you chose stop motion.
And some people even think that it is CG.
Yeah.
So
it's, this is like, this it, is it reminds me of like California Raisins.
Oh, yes.
And like old Michael Jackson
music
videos.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah, it's great. I saw that. I was like, this girl knows.
Did you ever see Barbarella?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That's, I love Barbarella.
That's me in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I love that movie. Anyone listening, if you haven't seen Barbarella,
it's an adventure.
Barbarella.
Yes. I just want to like just wear all her stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So now your next project is more of a comedic thing. No, it's not. What's your next one?
It's the short film.
The short film.
Yeah.
And what's that one about, if you can talk about it?
Yeah. So it's basically me and my friend and Foster, who's going to be the cinematographer. We are taking an RV and we're going from Northern California up to British Columbia. And we picked the most magical spots upon the way. And we are going to tell a story of self-discovery. And it's about, like, for some people, maybe it's not everybody, but for some people, including me, the city is very stressful. And I think that it's just so much energy in one place, and it's just hard to focus. And so we're kind of trying to, like, depict that visually through sounds and, you know, visions and things like that of how stressful the city is in black and white. And then once you kind of transition into realizing that that's what's causing your anxiety, then she, like, will click into this new world of natural kind of inspiration, like mountains and Mount Shasta and, like, Diablo Lake and just beautiful, insane places. And then I had the idea of a original scoring, which I haven't decided what it will sound like yet, but I really love Edward Scissorhands type sounds. And then I want to incorporate a little bit of CG at night when there's a full moon and I'm kind of meeting him, a Cyclops, and then that's going to be like me in my weirdest parts of me envisioned into a Cyclops.
I love that.
So it's going to be interesting to execute, but I love challenges, so... Here we go.
Yes. And so you have not shot this yet.
No.
Well,
this is
have
July.
You ever taken this drive from California to
I've taken this drive, not to British Columbia, but I've gone up to the top of Washington maybe twice.
Yeah.
So I've seen definitely a lot of the locations, but I've never even thought to, like, shot something on this scale. But I think that... it's just so beautiful on its own that it'll be easy to incorporate a storyline to it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think it would be great because I've done that drive before in an RV.
It's amazing.
And I, like, by myself from Seattle to LA. And it was just
by yourself?
Gorgeous. By myself. And it was like...
was it fun?
It was great.
Quiet?
It was amazing. I was like, I want to stop here. Okay.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just go on hikes and shit.
Yeah. It was awesome. Really, really wonderful. But then to wrap that into a project, I think is brilliant.
I'm excited.
And you have a storyline, you know, that is established, you know, because there's one way you could do it. You could shoot it vlog style, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You could go and just be like, let's see what happens. Like, I've done filmmaking that way, which is fun. Where you're like, I'm just going to capture some footage.
Yeah.
Let's see what we make.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also you going with a plan.
I think I'm just so obsessed with sci-fi that I just want to incorporate that into everything.
Mm-hmm. Very, like, Where the Wild Things Are.
Yeah.
I feel like it feels like an anime.
Uh-huh. And Washington is, Forks, Washington is already where Twilight's based. So I feel like, and Bigfoot, like, there's Bigfoot pizza, and it's all just very kind of mysterious. So I think that that energy will really flow into the video as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you said the Cyclops is what you feel it, like, is a version of you.
Yeah.
Why a Cyclops?
I think that I have, like, an obsession with eyes, and I love, obviously, with the professor.
Yeah,
and
I thought,
with the Cyclops.
I saw that you were connected.
Yeah. Yeah, and I really love Greek mythology as well, and I just think that it signifies, I mean, it, is that the word? It's
significant?
No, it embodies a lot of, like, deeper meaning, I guess. And there's
right here is supposed to be, like, the seat of your intuition, right?
Yeah.
Like, your third eye.
Yeah, so I think that would be, like, what I'm meeting kind of, and like really getting back in touch with that weirdo part of myself, which took me a long time to really accept. But I think that's like the most beautiful part of myself.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to try to depict that. Even if it doesn't make sense, I'll understand what it means.
Yeah. Embrace your weirdo. Embrace your weirdo. Like, we had an interview with another female filmmaker and she was like, I'm weird, I don't know. And I was like, it's great to be weird.
Exactly.
Like, I'm so weird, and embrace it. And it seems like you are doing that as well. So you've got some project that you are performing into coming up?
Yes. I have a movie. I have one movie called Perfect, and that's coming out in September. And then another one is a horror movie called The Row, and that's in July.
Mm-hmm.
So those are probably, I think Perfect is the one I'm most excited about because it's like the most, I think that one might be a classic. And not just because I'm in it, but because the storyline is just crazy. It makes sense, but when you're watching it, you wouldn't think that it would be a mainstream thing, mm-hmm. you know, because you're seeing movies like Tag and like all those ones. But yeah, I'm really excited about that one.
Good. Okay, so you've done comedies, you've done some sci-fi stuff, and then you've done horror.
Yeah.
Or anything that you have taken away as a performer that you can utilize in your filmmaking mm-hmm. of these different genres and how they are made?
I think that for my project I'm going to be doing, I'll pull mostly from the sci-fi one that I've done because I saw how they could incorporate animation without making it look fake.
Mm-hmm.
And I also learned a lot from listening to people that are kind of on the same wavelength. And I think that's really helped my story grow as well. Because I think for a lot of people, you get a storyline and you won't listen to anybody. You're just like, this is mine. I'm not going to do whatever. Your ideas suck. But really, like, taking that in, even if they say, hey, your idea sucks, but listen to this instead of that. And then maybe I'll be upset in the zone right there. But then the next day I'll be like, and that actually does make it a lot better.
Yeah.
So I think being open to like change is part of it too.
Yeah, that's good. And that's probably something that you saw on,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Working on different sets. And, that,
oh,
and
yeah.
That's something that I always, you know, have to remind myself. Like, it took me a long time because I started mm-hmm. at the beginning of like, no, but this is,
yeah.
this is my vision. I'm an yeah. artist.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. But, you know, like, you can hear it. You can like swallow your pride for a
mm-hmm.
second and, you know, like maybe like steam about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later you're like, oh, yeah, that is better.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, because you get to step away. But then uh-huh. when you find people that you can collaborate with on a regular basis, then you have, like, a safe zone.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, these people, I can hear their things.
Exactly.
I can either take it or leave it, but, like, they're not going to be offended if I don't utilize their idea. But
mm-hmm.
I'm open to listening to them because I know they're not dangerous to me.
Yeah. It's so important to have a group of people that aren't just yes men
mm-hmm.
because that's so easily how you can fall into a shitty project
mm-hmm.
is just being like, hey, does this sound good? And they're like, yeah, dude, you're doing so good. And it's like the next Teletubby movie. And you're
yeah.
like, why didn't anyone tell
why
me?
Why did somebody say something? Good Lord. What other advice do you have for our aspiring creatives out there?
I would say, oh my God, there's a lot, but I would say even if you don't have a budget, even if you don't even know where you're going to start, even if you don't have a past of that, even if you didn't go to school for it, just try to write down your idea in the most detailed way possible. And if you have any questions, just search it. It's all on Google. So I feel like you can get started. Oh, and Unsane, that movie by Steven Soderbergh, who's like a multimillionaire director, producer, did his most recent movie entirely on iPhone.
Sure did.
And it made millions of dollars and it barely has any editing. It's all kind of chalked up to the music and the acting. So just remember that when you're getting into something is even if it, you don't think it's working out or if you don't have all the, you know, lights or whatever, it's still very possible.
Yeah. Like I look at that and I see that the big wigs
mm-hmm.
are using a camera that we all have in our pocket.
I know.
So,
because they're so good now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so good. And even
it's
if
4K.
The quality was lower, it's how you're using it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Steven,
and you can color correct a lot.
Yeah. You can do a lot. And then like putting like different, like, LUTs on it, different looks on your film, on
yeah.
your footage. There's things you can do in editing. There's
mm-hmm.
It's just so wonderful. Like, it's a wonderful time to be a creative right now because
yeah.
there's so much at your disposal. There's so much information at your disposal. So
absolutely.
For you, like, you also seem like an internet learner like me.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of resources can you recommend to our filmmakers out there?
I took a film class online that was just free, and I don't have the link to that. I could probably send that to you later
okay.
to put on the screen if that's a thing.
Yeah. Do you know the name of it? You don't remember.
I think it might just be like film school or something like that. But that helped me a lot because it kind of, again, went back to showing this really amazing short film this person had made on like no money, and they did it all in their mom's basement. So that kind of like helped me get my ego back with all of that. And I read a lot. I pull my inspiration from old myths and theories. I think that's something that really helps. And I think like acting is something that will help you to understand a lot, because, you know, even if you're a shitty actor, you understand what you at least need to improve on. So, yeah, I think those are like the main points.
Yeah, I think that's really great. So like the internet, just as a source, there's lots of filmmaking resources
and
all
free.
Over the internet.
Yeah.
And then taking inspiration from things that already like entertain you
and
you're interested in, I think it's a really, really awesome thing to utilize.
Because you want to start with a project saying, what would I watch? I think that's like the number one thing.
Yeah, because you're going to spend a lot of time with it. And that's what happens to me is when I'm coming up with projects and I'm like, do I want to spend the next year with this idea? I'm a commitment phobe. I'm just like, oh.
Because you're saddled in once you get going.
Yeah, once you get, you want to like go for it. But once you finish, you're just like, this
is the best
awesome.
Feeling. Oh my God, it's incomparable.
Yeah, and then utilizing social media as an outlet. Like you can post your work, you can put it out in the world for free for people to see.
And you never know who's going to see it.
Yeah.
You never know.
Diplo might look at your stuff.
He might be scared. Just move on.
You might scare Diplo.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For sharing all of your wonderful filmmaking inspiration and your career path.
Yes.
I love that. And this is just goes to show you that like no matter what career you're already on, if you have the itch to start making a film, go do it.
So true.
Go do it. Be like Sarah. Sarah,
do
tell
it.
Everyone where they can find you on the internet.
You can find me on Instagram, Crotchy, K-R-O-T-C-H-Y, the same on YouTube, and Sarah McDaniel on Facebook. And just remember, just get weird, man. Just go with it. It's okay. It's fine.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Awesome. Get weird with it, guys. Mary Lou Mandel. You can find me all over the internet at Mary Lou Mandel. If you prefer watching the video version of On the Fly Filmmaking, you can subscribe to Popcorn Talk on YouTube. If you prefer to listen to the podcast version, you can find us on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Give us thumbs up. Subscribe. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us who you want to talk to. And also show us your films, because I want to see what you guys are making. I want to see how you're getting weird. We'll see you guys next time.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed here are those of the host only, not necessarily the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.